Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast. This is Ralph Phillips.
I'm Molly Bay.
Well, here it is. We are deep into the off season. Not a whole lot has happened. And that's a good thing because we are in the process of moving, so we can't do podcasts regularly right now. We'll be moved in at the end of this week. So hopefully we'll get back on schedule of our erratic schedule next week. We are looking to do a podcast about every day. So you can get as much of us as you want or as little of us as you want. That's the plan anyhow.
It's a good plan. We're going to do it.
I finally talked Molly into it.
It'll be easier, though, because there's going to be a lot going on, I think.
Yeah. We're getting ready to get into the tomorrow starts.
Tomorrow's the first day to designate the franchise tag on player.
So we'll start to see what's going on with Donovan Smith or who else is it we could possibly franchise.
Quan. Isn't it anybody that's going to be a free agent you can franchise?
Yeah, well, you're not going to do it just for anybody.
Right, because you got to pay them top five money.
But I can't see us franchising Quan. It would cost us a crap ton of money to franchise him.
More than
Humphreys, maybe.
Humphreys. But that's going to be a lot of money to pay
him,
too.
That would be a lot of money, too. But he's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah. Damn it.
Dang it.
Stay with us. Okay, so.
That starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow. February 19th. We released Vinny Curry, I guess last week.
Yeah, everybody saw that one coming.
Which was the first. So it cleared $8 million in cap space. We've now got about $15
million. Yeah. I wanted to look back through my notes. Vinny Curry, I never had anything bad to say about him. I remember that. And he made plays. He just wasn't out there a whole lot.
Injured.
He was injured a bit. But he was a rotational player. And, you know, he was probably on the field 30, 40% of the time.
Right. And why are you going to pay $8 million for
that? Yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't a surprise to see him released.
I was a little surprised that they didn't make more moves. Like, they just cut him, and then they're done.
But
for now.
They haven't really made any, they can't make any moves yet. I mean, did they cut him?
Yeah, they released. Or
did they just notify him?
We actually released him.
Okay.
So, I guess they could make moves.
They probably did that. You know, he's a veteran, and all. They want to release him early to let him get a chance to get everything
that's a good
in order.
Point. He'll get picked up somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
It just didn't really make a whole lot of sense for us to keep him, I think, especially when our defense is transitioning.
Right.
Which I have something new on that. That's been the big talk.
What you got?
4-3, 3-4. Joe Bucks fan today came out with an article where Arians was interviewed and Arians said, here's the full quote. I think we're fine offensively.
You got to say it like Bruce Arians. Throw in a brisket or biscuit in there, too.
Baby.
Baby.
I think we're fine offensively. Baby. We'll score points. I want to stress this year a lot on defense and special teams. Special teams is really where I think we're lacking. Big bodies that can run. 4-3 teams have always had that problem. When you have four linebackers on the field at a time, you have more of them on your team, so you're a faster team.
Boom. There we go.
So I think we're moving to a 3-4.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Everyone, the fan base being in denial about it.
Hey, you heard it here first. Go back to our podcast, man. As soon as Arians was hired, we said 3-4.
But, I mean, he's Joe Bucks fan. That's what he wrote in the article. He's got a point that when you have
big bodies.
You're just not as fast on special teams. And that's been, we have Golston on special teams. We've got Noah Spence on special teams. When you've got these rotational players, they stay on the team because they add value. So if they're not necessarily a starter, then they better be able to play special teams.
Right.
That's why you keep them. And
so we got all these big bodies out there on special teams.
Big guys. And just not really able to make a play. So.
Interesting. So they're going to be focusing on special teams quite a bit. That's interesting.
I mean, it's smart.
Yeah, well, you know, with all the changes they've done to all the special teams rules.
Yeah. Well, and that was Cutter's approach to it last season, too. I think his approach was, you can't really make many plays on special teams.
Right,
He
didn't care
He didn't
at all
care about special
about
teams.
Special teams.
No.
That's one of the things about DeSean Jackson that kind of made me go, what? You know, he's a good punt returner, kick returner. And he just didn't want to do it. And Cutter was like, well, if he wants to do it, I'll let him do it. If he doesn't, I won't.
Right.
I'm like,
he totally
what?
Left it up to the player.
Aren't you trying to win? You get your best guys back there. Oh, well.
On every side of the ball. I think special teams is really underrated.
Yeah. Well, they're changing a lot of rules to make it harder and harder to score on special teams. I've still, I predicted that I think it was Ryan Smith 29, was going to block at least two field goal attempts last year, because that guy blazes around that corner, man. But towards the end of the year, he just kind of didn't even try, it looked like. But he gets so close every time, and he's going to – hopefully Arians will see that and set him up to do some field goal block and maybe some block one and return it for a touchdown or something.
So, yeah, Arians going to focus on special teams.
Interesting.
Interesting.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I hope he does use Ryan Smith. Then you can be vindicated. You can say, I told you.
Pretty sure it's Ryan Smith. I got my numbers confused in my head. It's either him or Justin Evans.
It's been a long offseason,
It's
huh?
been a long offseason.
4 weeks.
It's like forever in football world.
I know. And then you don't get any football, so it's like you're all dumbed down, maybe.
So what? Tomorrow is the first day to designate franchise tags on players. Final day is March 5th.
Yeah.
We still are in a query with Donovan Smith. Don't know what they're going to do. You know, I'm really up in the air with it because, you know, I've been watching him for years and he just doesn't have, I mean, you know, the guy can, you know, he could do it. He just doesn't seem to have the motivation. You know, he gets out there and he whiffs on blocks. He doesn't play to the whistle hardly ever. You know, I mean, how many times have we sat here and watched him where he's staring at the quarterback, turned around,
getting murdered on the field,
looking at the quarterback, just getting destroyed, or watching the play develop. He's just sitting there watching
it. Yeah.
But, you know, he's had the same offensive line coach, Warhop, since he's been here, since he's been in the NFL, and maybe a new coach will give him the firing. Well, we know he's going to get the fire under his butt, whether he responds to it or not.
Right. I mean, I don't think Arians is going to put up with that.
It just hurts to have to pay so much for somebody that's done so little.
Yeah. I think that's where most of the fan base is. Like, you know that he's got us over a barrel.
Yeah.
He just does.
Yeah.
He's got us over a barrel. Who else are you going to get? You can't replace. I mean, you could replace him, but is it going to be an upgrade?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah. Trent Brown's, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with him and the Patriots, but he's going to get a lot of money.
But here's my thing with him. Anyone at the Patriots looks good.
Right.
And then they go on to other teams and they're mediocre at best.
Right. Remember when Nate Solder left the Patriots? He went to, where'd he go? I can't remember. But he stank to join up, offensive
right.
lineman, you know? And it's like, ugh.
Well, we got Logan Mankins. He was all right.
Yeah,
right?
I liked Logan Mankins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe there's exceptions, but.
There's Juwan James, too. He's an offensive tackle for the Dolphins. He's 27. He's coming up free agency. You know, he's not too bad. Daryl Williams with the Panthers. But, you know, most of these guys are probably going to get re-signed by their teams.
Right.
I mean, Bobby Macy, he got re-signed already by the Bears.
Well, here's my question with the tackle. Like, there are offensive tackles. Some of them probably play right. I mean, there's a difference between the right and left tackle and how you play it, right? So if you play right tackle, can you move to left tackle?
Yeah, I mean.
Sometimes, maybe?
Yeah, most of them can, but, you know.
I mean, left tackle is, like, the hardest part of the line to play, right?
It's getting to where they're almost equal now because, well, again, a lot because of the 3-4 defenses. You've got rushers coming from both sides. Usually, used to, you would put your main rusher on the quarterback's blind side, which would be the left tackle position.
So that's why the left tackle is so hard to play.
Because usually the best player's over there, but. You know, the league has kind of shifted, you know, you got a lot more 3-4 defenses and they're moving linebackers from one side to the other to rush the quarterback and everything. So the right tackle has to be almost as good as the left tackle anymore.
Huh. And we have a decent one, DeMar Dodson.
Yeah. Yeah. And Western, he's pretty decent. His backup. So I think we're okay on the right tackle spot.
Right. But could you move, like, get rid of Donovan Smith and move Leonard Wester over there?
I don't know. That'd be interesting.
Or DeMar Dodson.
Again, that's. No, I wouldn't put DeMar Dodson over there. He's played right tackle for, 11 years now?
Right.
So, I don't know. I think, doing anything like that is just as iffy as keeping Donovan Smith and seeing if a new coach can get him to play. Because really, all he needs to do is play through the whistle. I mean, he gets beat more than I would like, but I think that could be due to him just not playing hard.
Yeah, he doesn't play hard, and I just feel like he's so indifferent to his job, to the team. Like, that's what I get from him. Yeah, it's just indifference. He's just out there.
He reminds me of a lot of players we get. I'm not going to mention any names, but we don't give him any competition. I mean, Donovan Smith has had no competition since he's been here. Everybody's complained about him and all that, but like you said, he's got us over a barrel. What can we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so he's just riding it out. I did see him on Good Morning Football or Football America or, I don't know, one of these stupid talk shows. And, you know, I've always liked Donovan Smith. I mean, him and Ali Marpet are really good friends. They got the podcast together. You know, he seems like a really good guy and all that. And he had nothing but great things to say about the Buccaneers. He was on for quite a while. I mean, it was like a 10-minute interview. And he talked great about Jameis, and he said he wanted to come back to Tampa. He didn't mention anything about going anywhere else. And that's good. You want to see that. I mean, he wants to play here, apparently. You know, just...
He don't play like he wants to play here.
No, this is true.
But he doesn't play like he wants to play anywhere.
This is true, too. Yeah, he doesn't play with somebody like football.
I mean, he's not trying to get a job anywhere else. Find a new employer. Not like Brent Grimes that last game showing up. I need some tape.
Atlanta, will y'all take me back? Wouldn't that be funny? Dirk takes Brent Grimes back to Atlanta.
Bye, bitch.
Take him. But yeah, Donovan, he's just a quandary. I don't know what to do with him. But I do know this. We need to get somebody prepared to take his place. He needs competition. I think all athletes need competition. And we need to get somebody, draft somebody, free agent somebody to nip at his heels.
Yeah. Well, and I think a combination of that and Bruce Arians getting on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think his days of slacking off in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think for sure. Just show a highlight reel of him loafing. How about that?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. No, seriously. I'm going to do what me and you have talked about. That we're going to do the video of him. We got one where he actually blocked Ali Marpet one time. That was funny. But we've got quite a few plays of where he's standing there, turned around, watching the play unfold, where the quarterback's getting destroyed or running. And usually it's his man chasing the quarterback or whatever. Right. And he's just standing there watching him.
I mean, he's good for, like, an initial block. But if the lineman or whoever from the defense is coming, if they make a second effort, like, he's done. Yes. He's done his job.
Yes, exactly. That's a very good point. And speed gets him, too. Speed guys, if you can get on the outside edge with him and come around wide, he'll just watch you go by. I mean, he's strong guy. He's big guy, strong. He'll take you on. Bull rushes hardly ever work with him and stuff. But that speed and second effort, if you play, that's what happened with I think it was the Dallas game where the guy, wasn't DeMarcus Ware, was it? Does he even play for Dallas? I don't know.
No, God, he retired I think he retired a Bronco, right?
Yeah, I think so.
God.
I'm old and my Alzheimer's is catching up.
You've watched a lot of football over the years. It just blends together.
It does. It all blends together. I think it was the Dallas game. It was where Winston went out of the pocket and the guy came up behind him and hit him and he fumbled the ball and... Dallas picked the ball up and ran it back for a touchdown.
Yeah, that was definitely Dallas, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, in that one, Donovan stopped his guy, but the guy just kept hustling, and he just out-hustled Donovan. That's all that was.
Yeah.
You know, the guy never stopped, and Donovan did. Boom, there you go. But, of course, that play, I'm not blaming Donovan Smith for that play. I mean, he could have done better, of course, but...
But it's just an example. He's got a pattern.
He will get beat if the guy just keeps trying.
Well, and I forget... Where I heard it, I want to say it was Ian Beckles, but it might have been somewhere else, where someone in the front office that used to be a Buccaneer tight end, I think David something.
Dave Moore?
Maybe Moore. And he's in the front office now?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. Okay.
Probably.
In any case, former Buccaneers player in the front office gave an interview and said, sometimes Donovan Smith is on the field and he looks like he'd rather be on the sideline drinking water.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, I remember that. Yeah, he does analysis videos for Buccaneers.
Okay.
Is it Dave Moore? Crap, no.
Yeah, we'll
see. I watch all his videos. How come I can't remember this? Okay, caught me off guard there. All right, so that's we just spent 15 minutes talking about Donovan Smith again. Well, he's an important piece to the thing.
He is. He's one of our big questions. Him, mm-hmm. Humphreys, Kwon.
Deshaun,
McCoy, they're all pretty big question marks. So
yeah.
In the next couple of weeks, I'm really excited to see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We've got a new team. We're going to have a new team.
I know.
Okay.
So I wanted to talk about this too. It's not on my list, but Antonio Brown was informed by the Steelers that he's not going to be a Steeler anymore.
Really?
Right?
Did he took? Well, I know him and the owner were going to talk. Did anything came out after that?
He had a tweet where he's like saying goodbye to fans. Mm-hmm. So I assume that the team had told him that they're letting him go. But now I'm looking and it looks like he's asked them for a trade. And then maybe he's trying to force their hand by doing the public.
What in the world happened with the Steelers, man? Talk about an implosion.
What
this year.
A meltdown. But I read Peter Report is reporting. Some analyst said that. The Bucs are the best landing spot for him.
I think every team in the league is saying that right now. I think we're the best landing spot for Antonio Brown.
We can't afford him. How are we going to pay for him?
I don't know. We could.
We
could afford him, but nobody else.
I know. Like, you can't pay Hump $10 million, but we're going to go and pay Antonio Brown probably twice that.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Weird. I wouldn't be mad to have him on the team, you know, as far as the
skill is concerned. I don't want anybody from that locker room. I don't want Bell. I don't want
Roethlisberger. Don't want Bell.
No, they all, I mean, there's just this implosion there.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know, but someone asked, I guess Antonio Brown has like a Ask AB thing. And
what, like a?
Like a Q&A he'll do, like tweet your question at him. So somebody asked him about Ben, and he said there's nothing but mutual respect, all that. So he wasn't coming down on Ben. So I don't know. There's issues there. I wish, well, not anymore. I was wishing they would fire Mike Tomlin so then we could get him. But we got BA. We don't need a new coach. Yeah. So moving on. You got anything else?
Do you think the ping pong table's going to stay in the locker room?
No, I do not.
No?
I don't think so.
Arian's going to rip that thing out and throw it out the window?
I think he's going to take it to the parking lot with a sledgehammer, to be honest.
I really like ping pong. It's a fun sport and all that. But it is so annoying watching the interviews in the locker room and constantly hearing that.
Yeah. You can. They're always in the background.
Yeah.
I can see where it's really annoying after we've lost a game.
Right, like, for them to be up in there playing.
And then they're over having a good old time playing ping pong. Like, it rubs a lot of people the wrong way. I think Joe Buck fan is one of them.
Yeah.
He's always complaining.
Yeah, players don't seem to understand that, you know, when you lose, it affects us. I mean, it affects people's whole week.
Yeah.
You know, and to them, it's just a job.
And you're Monday morning, you're all hungover and shit and depressed.
Yeah, you got to go and deal with the guys at work who are fans of the Panthers, right. And they're all like, what happened to the Bucks?
Yeah.
And then, you know that's going to happen, and you're sitting there watching guys on the sideline or in the locker room goofing off or playing after getting their butts whooped, and you're like, dude, you've only got a few years to do this. Take it serious.
And you're making millions of dollars to do it.
Yeah. I think it's a problem with the Buccaneers. We have a culture of losing, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of knows that, but it's just so deep-seated that I don't think they even recognize it in the locker room. But Jason Pierre-Paul recognized it when they lost to Chicago. He was like, I don't know how these guys are acting normal. That was embarrassing.
Yeah. There's quite a few. I think it's kind of a culture shock when you come in, especially coming from a winning team. Not that JPP was always on a winning team. I mean, the Giants had their downs, too, but you know, and then all the Super Bowl champs that we got, and they come to a team. I mean, they're obviously here for the payday. A lot of teams are.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of players are. You come to Tampa for the paycheck because we got to pay you an exorbitant amount just because the team sucks.
Right, and the fan base is really bad. The media coverage is horrible.
Yeah.
You know, you compare being a player at New York Giants. You know, your whole life is analyzed. They've got 15,000 reporters that are investigating everything you do up there.
Yeah.
They'll write about if you ate a ice cream or a Twinkie. And
they're selling out the stadium every game. They're filling the stadium.
Well, yeah. It's a huge fan base.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you come down here to Florida. It's hot. It's relaxing. It's strip clubs everywhere. It's a party atmosphere.
Right. Any tourist destination, any beachy area that you go to, it's always going to be that.
Even our stadium is a party atmosphere.
Yeah. Which I think is cool.
Yeah,
it's a cool thing. Right. But I could see where if your career is reliant on performing, being professional,
focusing
it's hard to do.
Yes.
And then the stadium, you know, not being filled out all the time.
Right, or having more away fans than home fans.
Yeah.
That's even worse. And then you've got the players in the locker room that have been here for almost a decade. And, you know, they're laughing and goofing off after losses. And they're always walking around saying, oh, let's just have fun or
whatever. Dancing on the sideline.
Yeah. And, you know, I could see where guys like, what was his name? Michael Johnson came over from the Bengals. And, you know, he's like, well, I'm not even going to try. Or, you know, I might get hurt if I go out there and try hard. These people, nobody here cares. So I think it's a problem.
Yeah.
Hopefully Arians will straighten it out.
I think he will. I think it's coming.
Yeah. I think, you know, locker rooms are very important, very, very important to team success because, you know, it's just like any job you have. Now, you can hate people you work with and still do well, but you have to have a culture of focusing on a goal. You have to work together towards a goal. You don't have to necessarily like the people you're working with, but you all have to be on the same page. That's vital, I think, to team success.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't always have that.
So, nice segue.
Speaking
of which, the big news this week was that Colin Kaepernick got paid by the NFL and Eric Reed. Let's not forget him.
They got a settlement.
You know, this being heralded as him winning against the NFL, which It's not. I work in the legal field. You settle just because it might cost you a little bit less than actually going through with it.
Yeah,
whether it's money or your image, PR. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but it's not necessarily indicative that Colin Kaepernick won.
Right. And that the NFL thought they were going to lose, so they paid off. That's right. What a lot of people are saying.
So, not necessarily the case. So, what happened was that he, in his complaint, was alleging that the NFL violated the CBA by colluding together to deny him employment. Because of his political activism, the whole kneeling stuff. I've got a timeline of the last few years of Kaepernick's career, and this was actually his decline. So I'd like to go over that, and then we can discuss the impact on the locker room. So in 2014, Jim Harbaugh's still there.
Gosh, they were good. Remember back then? That whole division was just monstrous.
Monstrous. And they signed Kaepernick to a 6-year contract extension worth $126 million. Yeah. That season, they go 8-8. In December of that year, Jim Harbaugh left the team. Publicly, they're saying, oh, it's a mutual decision. Jim Harbaugh later came out and said, no, they fired me, basically.
That was the one of the weirdest team implosions I've ever seen. I mean, they went from Super Bowl to just
blowing up. Yeah. And
it's kind of like what you're seeing with Pittsburgh now.
Yeah.
And a little bit worse, though. The 49ers were really, really bad.
Well, I think that there was strife from like top to bottom. There's reports that Jim Harbaugh and the GM did not get along, that they couldn't agree on how to deal with the player discipline issues. Towards the end, they weren't even speaking to each other. Just a lot of problems in the front office there. And, Jim Harbaugh left. So then Jim Tomsula was hired as the replacement, the head coach, going into the 2015 season. And this is where Cap's downfall really started. In August of 2015, he and Alden Smith, who was on the he's defensive line. Is that right?
He's linebacker.
Linebacker, but they have a 3-4, right? Yeah. Okay. So he and Alden Smith get in a fist fight on the practice field and had to be broken up by other players. Kaepernick has the starting job. Oh, sorry. Back to the fight. Kaepernick started dating Alden Smith's girlfriend, or ex-girlfriend.
That's like a number one, you don't do that.
You don't do that in the locker room.
Yeah, you don't do that with friends. You don't do it with coworkers.
Nothing. I mean, that's... Can we, like, talk... Like, no one's talking about that.
Yeah, it's funny how people just gloss over that.
Yeah.
How your starting quarterback...
is banging your defense or your linebackers.
Right. And I'm pretty sure she was cheating on Alden Smith. And this is when Alden Smith went kind of crazy.
Yeah. So in June, well, supposedly in June, Alden Smith and Nessa, that's what it is. She's like a MTV personality too. They broke up in June. And then this was in August. So still kind of fresh. So they get into this fist fight in August in, training camp. And like 2 days later, or no, the same day, I think it was the same day, Alden Smith, they released him after a DUI. Yeah, so and then there were also reports which have been refuted by Colin Kaepernick, but the whole fistfight thing was refuted by him as well, that said that Alden Smith keyed his car too. But they said...
Wouldn't surprise me.
Well,
there's... I would.
Well, Alden Smith, so his DUI was like a hit and run. And arrest, and then he was released by the team. And they were saying that he keyed Colin Kaepernick's Mercedes Benz, and Kaepernick's like, well, I have a deal with Jaguar, so why would I drive our Benz? So he also refuted the fistfight thing, but we know that's true. That happened.
Well, we do know that he was dating Aldon Smith's ex-girlfriend. Right. And I don't care. That's going to piss anybody off.
Right.
That's just non-professional.
So his other teammates had to break up this fight. Alden Smith, he's out immediately.
So he goes out and gets drunk and does a whole bunch of stupid stuff over this, basically?
You know, it's in the same timeline. Yeah. Yeah, it's in the same week, basically. I think the same day. I think he got released the same day, but I'm not totally for sure because there were reports that the fight happened on Thursday. There were reports that it happened on a Tuesday. So, you know, it's kind of, it was in the same week at least. So Kaepernick's still starting at this point. The season starts. he goes 2-6 and gets benched in favor of Blaine Gabbert.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And then he missed the remainder of the season with a shoulder injury that required surgery. So that was mm-hmm. week 8. So he missed, you know, half the season. So 2016, Jim Tomsula was fired. Chip Kelly was hired as a head coach. Cap starts, he sits for the anthem in the 3rd preseason game and he's asked, why did you sit? And that's where he said, I can't stand for a flag that, or for a country that
he said allows, the flag too,
yeah, that allows people of color to be gunned down by police officers, basically. Right. I don't have the exact quote in front of me. In the 4th preseason game was when he started kneeling during the flag.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when he started getting a lot of attention. He had competed for the starting job with Blaine Gabbert and lost.
Right.
So Blaine Gabbert is named the starter. Gabbert goes 1-4 as the starter mm-hmm. and is benched in favor of Cap. So he wins his job back.
Mm-hmm. He wins his job back by Gabbert sucking
yeah.
just as bad.
Yeah, which is what happened the season before that. Right. Kaepernick went 2-6 and he was benched for Blaine Gabbert. So at least they're consistent. October 13 of the 2016 season, they restructure Kaepernick's contract, which made it a 2-year deal with the player option for the next season.
Okay.
So
how much did he make in that time period? Do we know?
I don't know.
He had a $126 million contract.
Yeah, it was like $13 million was fully guaranteed, and there were like about $50 million in potential guarantees.
Okay.
So 2016 season ends, and March 3rd, 2017, Kaepernick officially opted out of his contract with the 49ers.
So he quit the 49ers.
So he was a free agent at the start of the 2017 season.
Okay.
He had a couple of... He didn't have any workouts, but he had some teams he claims that were interested who then cut contact. One of the teams that he was going to go work out with was the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, I remember this.
Until his idiot girlfriend tweeted this racist tweet about Ray Lewis. It showed a picture of Ray Lewis and the white general manager. And then it had a picture from Django Unchained with, Leonardo DiCaprio and Samuel Jackson. It was that.
Yeah, it's basically
the
saying.
The implication. Yeah, it's
Ray saying, Lewis was a slave.
Exactly. Yeah. And, unsurprisingly to everyone but Colin Kaepernick, apparently, the Ravens lost interest at that point. And so that was the last possible position he could have tried out for.
Huh. And there's rumors that he was offered $20 million for the AFF football
right,
league.
Right, and wouldn't take it.
And wouldn't take it. That. I would really like to see him come back and play. We talked about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, me too.
Because I'd like to see him get destroyed. When he was, the last season he played, after he hooked up with his girlfriend, you know, he went vegan and mm-hmm. was doing all this weird stuff. And he looked slow and weak out there. And he was getting destroyed.
Right. And even Michael Vick made that point. Michael Vick came out not recently. It was kind of when the whole thing was happening and said, you know, you can't really blame teams because if you look at Cap's last 2 seasons, he didn't play all that
no,
great.
He didn't play well at all.
And here's the thing with quarterbacks like Kaepernick. This happens to all of them because they're one trick ponies.
Mm-hmm.
You got,
RG3,
you got Deshaun Watson. I'm mm-hmm. going to put Patrick Mahomes in there because it's kind of the same thing. They just come out of nowhere.
Not Deshaun Jackson. It was like Baltimore Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
I mean, look at him. All he can do is run.
Yeah. I mean, there's a long list of them. Kaepernick just happens to be one of them. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that there was collusion by the NFL. I haven't seen any evidence. I mean, maybe right. they have something, and maybe that's what the NFL didn't want public, and that's why they settled. Right. Maybe. I don't know. I just don't think between Kaepernick not performing well and being a cancer in the locker room.
That's the big issue.
I wouldn't want that on my team.
No. I don't care how good you are.
He destroyed the
49ers. Yeah.
He did. I mean.
Yeah, blew up the coach, blew up the GM, blew up the fan base, blew up the Aldon Smith. And
right.
It was just a total mess over his own selfish wants. People compared him in this movement to the new Rosa Parks. I've heard that quite a bit, you know. Kaepernick's the new Rosa Parks. I think even in the Nike commercial they had reference to that or some crap. I don't remember. But I'm like, what would have happened if Rosa Parks would have taken money? You know, you say that the NFL might have colluded. You know, there might be evidence and they're trying to hide it. Well, then shame on Kaepernick for letting them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, if they've colluded, if they're doing stuff wrong and you're going to go, hey, you pay me, you know, a few million dollars and I won't tell anybody, because there's a non-disclosure agreement. They can't talk about this at all. They can't even talk about how much the settlement was.
Right.
It's completely lid on this. If they break any of that, they got to pay all the money back. Both sides. If the NFL breaks the contract by talking about it, then Kaepernick can sue them again. So this is, we'll never know. I mean, maybe a book will get written 20 years from now. You know, who knows? But we'll never know. We'll never know. And if Kaepernick is serious about his cause, I think he just shafted him.
Mm, that's a good point. And what's to stop them from doing it again?
Right. Yeah, they'll just pay everybody off.
Right.
I mean, what if Martin Luther King was paid off? Where would that have gone? You know, they would have come to him and said, hey, here's $20 million. Just right. Sign this agreement and shut your mouth.
Right.
You know, so I don't know.
I mean, I don't want to get into the political aspect.
I do really bad, but I don't want to alienate half of our listeners.
I don't want to get into that because I don't really think that that's relevant. I just don't think it's relevant.
No,
I think that aspect of it is very divisive.
This is what I hate about the modern day NFL and pretty much all modern day entertainment is it's like a reality show. We have to know everything about these people, their personal lives, their politics, their sexual orientation.
Yeah.
Everything. And then you cast judgment. It doesn't matter how good they are on the field or how bad they are on the field. It's now whether they're a good person or not.
And that's kind of my point with Cap. Like, everybody is distracted by his political activism and they're not looking at his performance on the field.
Right.
When you've got Michael Vick,
or his performance in the locker room. That's the worst thing.
His impact on a team.
You just don't start dating somebody else's girlfriend, whether they were cheating on him. I don't know. I mean, that's the rumor out there, but. You know, anyhow, you don't do it against us. So obviously, Adam Smith was not really happy about it.
Right.
So there's no surer way to destroy any relationship than that. And you just destroyed a whole team.
Whole locker room. Yeah. I mean, and there's reports that the team did turn on Kaepernick. There were those that didn't like him.
I wouldn't like him.
No.
Heck no.
No. Especially if you're friends with Adam Smith and you were responsible for getting him kicked off the team.
That's just a line you do not cross, man.
Politics aside, that's not the type of person you want in the locker room.
Mm-mm.
I would never touch him with a 10-foot pole.
That's why I'm saying I would love to see him come back and play for Carolina, the Saints, or Atlanta. I really would. If I could, I would have him sign up to all three teams, maybe at the same time, but at least consecutively. You know, go from Carolina. Start there. Go Carolina. No, start at the Saints. They seem to be the better team now. So.
Yeah.
We'll start there. When he destroys that team, he can go in 2020 to Carolina.
So, you know, I just...
Yeah, if he were to come back to football right now, he would get destroyed.
I think so, too.
Because he's just too weak.
Well...
Physically, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, and there's the, you know, his complaint alleged that he's, you know, this phenomenal football player. He's in the top tier. Mm-hmm. He should be making X amount of dollars, you know, and it's just... It's not the case.
Well, here's what he could do to prove that is to go to the FF League or what's the new Gridiron League, the indoor league that's starting up. Go somewhere and play. And if you play well, they don't care. Football owners don't care. They will hire you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're good. I mean, look at Michael Vick. Does anybody ever talk about Michael Vick? He went to prison.
I know.
Ray Lewis killed two people.
No, he did not.
Well, whatever.
Alleged.
Well, allegedly.
He got off on that. He was only charged for obstruction of justice. That's what he was doing.
Ray Lewis hangs around people that kill people. How about that? And, you know, Michael Vick, you know, he did some pretty bad stuff.
Questionable people. Well, DeSean Jackson allegedly had gang ties in Philly.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it's not.
They don't care.
Right.
You know, the owners don't care.
Adrian Peterson abused his child and came back.
Right. Of all the ones, that's the one that pisses me off the most.
Right.
But I don't care. I'd have Adrian Peterson on my team in a heartbeat. I don't care. I don't care if these guys kick babies down the street and boil puppies. I don't care. I just want to see good football.
Right. And.
You can be a horrible person and come to my team. Just don't destroy my locker room. Just win.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's the problem. Kaepernick wasn't winning. If he wants to, go to the Canadian League, go to the AFF, go to the Gridiron League somewhere, light it up, and you'll get hired in the NFL. But I guarantee he's not going to do that. What he's going to do is he's going to sit around and complain, do all this activism stuff, and, you know, his wife's big into it and everything. That's their life from now on.
Yeah.
His girlfriend? Yeah. They probably don't believe him.
See, that's the thing also is that I don't feel like he really cares about football. I feel like football is a means to his political activism.
Probably
he doesn't care about the game. He cares about having a platform, and football gives him that platform.
Okay. Well, don't know. It's a interesting quandary. A lot of issues on both sides and all over the place. But, I'll tell you what. You want to play in the NFL? Go to the AFF League. Go to Canada Football. Play lights out. win a championship or whatever, and you will be back in the NFL.
Yeah.
That simple. But he's not going to do it.
I mean, there's so many coaches out there or teams out there who like taking risks like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Browns just got Kareem Hunt.
Right.
I mean, John Gruden, I think he's one of those people. Is he? Maybe.
He will be soon after getting rid of all of his players. He's going to be needing anybody.
You know, there's teams that will take that risk, that like that risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're known for it. They, you know.
Yeah, and there's teams in the league that support his cause.
Yeah.
You know, Seattle. Well, didn't they bring him in for tryouts? I swear Seattle.
Yeah,
did.
And Pete Carroll said Colin Kaepernick is a starter and we already have one.
Well.
I disagree with that, but that was their argument.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that there are teams that would get him. I don't know. I think it's all just, you know, a bunch of mudslinging back and forth. All I want to do is watch good football.
Right. Well, and look at it this way. Like, if you work a job and you're just a total shit to your bosses and you're insubordinate and you're making a stink, you're making a big kerfuffle in the company, and then you try to get a job somewhere else where they call to get a reference.
Right.
You're not going to get a job.
You're not going to get a job. Especially if you perform like crap on the field for the past 2 years.
If you're not even really good at your job.
Right.
I mean, why would they bring you on?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, if he has evidence of collusion, he should have said, screw the money and brought that out, you know, but he didn't. So we'll never know now.
Yeah. It's a shame, but
it is a shame.
Typical. Hopefully whole thing will just go away. I mean, I hope he does. Like you said, somebody give him a job so we can just end this. You know what I mean? So we can quit hearing about it. Like, let him phase out like Josh Freeman.
All right.
Come on.
But, you know, it's the NFL has settled before. I mean, this is not new for them.
Right. I mean, the concussion settlement, that was a big one.
Yeah, don't get me started on that one, too.
There's players that they've settled with before. Hardy Nickerson, Reggie White.
What did they settle with Hardy Nickerson?
I can't remember. I can't find anything. I found it, but the...
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. Was it free agency?
That was my boy. That's the guy,
or an injury settlement? Something. They settled.
Yeah, I mean, corporations do that all the time. It's easier. It's cheaper to settle than it is to go through the whole court process. Because, you know, the lawyers they hire are not cheap.
It is expensive.
It's extremely expensive.
I mean, you pay the lawyer's fees, court fees, the time, the potential revenue. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it besides what's the merit of their case.
Insurance companies do it all the time. I mean, that's what all these personal injury lawyers, they know. They know this. It's like, basically, you just submit a claim and the insurance company will look and go, is it worth it to fight this or should we just pay them off?
Right.
And normally they'll pay you off.
Right. It's not worth the money. Resources.
Yeah. It costs money to fight it. So anyhow, that's what we got. We got 20 minutes. We talked about Donovan Smith and another 20 minutes. We talked about another team.
Right.
So it's a slow news. Slow news week. Did you watch any of the AFF league this week?
No.
Me neither.
Did you?
No, that's not true. I did have it on while I was down in the garage for about 10 minutes. Sat there and watched it.
Was it terrible?
No, it wasn't terrible. I just don't have time for it. I really need to watch it just to have something to talk about, but it's just, I don't know. Just don't have time. Plate's full. All right. So we're going to wrap this up. Next time you hear from us, hopefully it'll be us in our new house, and we will be starting our daily podcast. It'll probably be Monday through Friday, something of that nature. At least 3 times a week. Look, I'm scaling back already.
I know, right?
Go from 5 times a week to 3 times a week.
5 times? You said every day. There's 7 days in a week. You're talking about
I don't know what week you're talking about. There's only 5 days in my week. Sundays are sacred.
Right.
Okay. Sundays are football days.
Okay.
All right, so if you want to get in contact with us, you can. The best way to reach us is on Twitter, probably. Our handle is @Bucks_Observer. Molly's email is mollybay@BuccaneersObserver.com. You can contact me at ralph@BuccaneersObserver.com, or you can visit our website, see all the junk we got there, and leave a comment on the website at BuccaneersObserver.com. But until then,
go Bucks!